Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 to 10, as well as verses 16 to 19. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, but to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Verses 16 to 19. "And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worship the works of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for the work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." This is the word of God.
Come, let us go to God in prayer as we listen to his word. Spirit of the living God, we pray that as we listen to your word, may your word, Lord, convict our hearts and shape us as we don't just listen as hearers, but be doers of your work. For in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. A blessed new year to you and your families. The Lord's blessing and peace be with you in this 2018. What are your New Year goals for 2018? What ideas do you have? Some of you probably give up on this New Year resolution thing, right? Well, Amazon dropped us an email. This Amazon Prime says they give us some new ideas for the year. In the email, it says, "Think new fitness targets, read new books, new look, more travel, and more me time." This is what the world calls us to for New Year resolution. Now, all this looks good, but whose interest is it for ultimately? It's more for personal interests. Or rather, it's the interest of the profit-making companies, isn't it? But what would be God's resolution for us in 2018? What is it that he would like to exhort us as we start this year? Now, we will hear from the passage that we heard that God's desire for us individually and as a church is to be dressed for work. We will hear more what that means in a while, but this being our first sermon on the book of Jeremiah, it's important for us to understand the context or what's the events and what's happening during Jeremiah's time. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet around 620 BC, that's 600 years before Christ, and that is about 2,600 years from us. And he and his people were living in a political insecurity. There was great idolatry and wickedness around him. The kingdom of Israel has already been divided into two kingdoms. If you read 2 Kings, that's because Solomon has turned away from the Lord. And the Lord split his kingdom, and that is the way Israel has governed after Solomon. There is the northern kingdom that is called Israel, and then there is the southern kingdom that is called Judah. So they operate like two countries, but they are still the people of God. However, these two kingdoms had two different sets of kings, and unfortunately, there were more bad kings than good. And the people in both Israel and Judah continued to live in sin and idolatry. Now, what are the wicked things that the people of God has been doing that warrants God's judgment, as we will hear later? In Jeremiah's case, he was born during the time of King Manasseh. And he is a very wicked king. He introduced pagan worship, the worship of all the foreign gods, when God says, "You shall not have any other gods." And when you worship the foreign gods of that land, you will also practice what they practice and embrace the values. And some of these values include evil practices. It's recorded in 2 Kings that part of worship, King Manasseh would offer child sacrifice, and his own son was sacrificed as a burnt offering. So these are some of the evil things. There's temple prostitution and among others. He even practiced sorcery and divination. And verses 1 to 3 tells us that Jeremiah ministered through the era of three kings. And out of these three kings, two were bad kings. King Josiah was a good king. He led the reform of the country. But unfortunately, his reform was short-lived. So the people turned back to their own wicked ways. And all this while, God has been warning them through the ministry of the prophets for hundreds of years that if you do not turn back, you will have to face the consequence of your sin and your actions. And God raised the Assyrian, the superpower at that time, to take away Israel, the northern part. And the people were sent to exile. Now, the Assyrian Empire was overheating. They were taking more territories than they could manage. And the empire was going to crumble not because they were falling military, but God was also judging as the Assyrians. And Judah, who is still having their sovereignty as a nation, thought, aha, now God won't do anything to us. That empire is going down the drain. But what Judah didn't realize is that God was raising another empire to punish them. And that is the Babylonians. And so in the book of Jeremiah, it's a matter of time that God's judgment will come upon Judah. And it was in such a time of idolatry, sin, and political instability, God called Jeremiah into the ministry. And there's a lesson that we can draw on the timing that God calls us to serve him through Jeremiah. You see, when God called Jeremiah, it wasn't as though times were good or Jeremiah was in a comfortable life stage. God called him in the midst of the difficult time to rise, to respond to his calling. And oftentimes, you know, often so much we think that, you know, the time to respond to God's calling is when we are more settled down, when we are a little bit more comfortable in our life stage, when studies, family, and careers are in place, then we consider serving the Lord. Now, our personal issues are certainly important consideration, but there will be challenges in every phase of our lives. And more often than not, God's calling don't come at our perceived right timing. And the time to respond is not so much when we are comfortable, but when we sense that the Spirit of the God of the Lord is calling us. And let's look at how God called Jeremiah. He told him this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, God was thinking about Jeremiah even before he was born, even before he was conceived. He is to be a prophet to the nations. Now, Jeremiah didn't earn this calling. In fact, we'll see later on, he didn't even want it. And it's not as though he has some special skill or experience to offer, therefore God calls him. God created him for a purpose. And all Jeremiah had to do is to obey. It was an interesting discussion as we start the book of Jeremiah in our adult Bible study. And the discussion in our CG is that, did God create each one of us for a specific purpose, like Jeremiah? Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, has a lot to say about this. And he wrote this: "You may choose your career, your spouse, your hobbies, and many other parts of your life, but you cannot choose your purpose." And there's one section in his book that he dedicated 7 chapters on discerning our purpose. And that section is, "You are shaped to serve God." You are shaped to serve God. And he writes that one of God's key purposes is for each one of us that we are made to serve God. And regardless what career we hold, what job we hold, all of us are called to be full-time Christians and full-time in the ministry. And Pastor Rick emphasized from scriptures the importance of being connected to the church family. And we fulfill our calling when we serve one another in the body of Christ. And so what that means is that for all of us, more often than not, God's purpose and calling is within the body of Christ. And that is to say that each one of us has a purpose, has a role and function in the church, and every role is important. In verse 6, Jeremiah tried to give some good reasons why God should be looking for other people. He says that, you know, I do not know how to speak, and I'm only a youth. He's probably thinking, God, you know, you are making a mistake here. Prophet of the nations, you should get somebody who is good at public speaking or an adult to do this. But God didn't quite agree with that. He told Jeremiah, do not say you are a youth. You shall go wherever I command you. You shall speak. Now, what does God's response to Jeremiah tell us about God and about serving him? It tells us that God is not limited to our experience or our age. He's not limited by our ability. And the feeling of inadequate is not a good reason to say no to God. Age, whether young or old, experience, they are not an obstacle to God. God can work through us. All he calls is obedience. And God assures Jeremiah that he will go with Jeremiah as he obeys the call. And twice in this passage, God assures him, I am with you to deliver you. I am with you to deliver you. And there's a promise to claim from these verses that when God calls us to serve him, he goes with us on the job. He's not a God who says, okay, you go and do this and I'll take a step back. But his presence goes with us. Many years back, I was still a youth, young adult, and my first mission trip to Myanmar. And there was a particular occasion. It was a hot and tiring day. I was with a local trying to do street evangelism. And so after a few rounds of unsuccessful street evangelism, I was really so tired. My mind went blank in the train. And then my local friend, he gestured me, okay, now you go and speak to that man. I was like, oh, I'm so tired, and the man is a grown-up man. I couldn't even speak a word of that language. But then you cannot say no. So I went up and talked to the man using gestures, trying to describe the four spiritual laws, or whatever God, I mean, whatever that is. And then at a certain point, this grown-up man started to cry. And I look at my interpreter, and I was wondering, did he say something that moved him? But my interpreter also looked surprised. And for some reason, that person understood the message. And he prayed to receive Jesus in his life. And he began to share with us the struggles that he's going through with his family. And he was so moved at that point of time that God loves him. And looking back, I was a reluctant mission tripper. No more strength. But then, the Holy Spirit was present. He goes with us even though we feel inadequate. And he tells us that if God calls us to something, his presence is with us. He will enable us for the task. The ministry and the message that Jeremiah had to proclaim was a very difficult one. And God gave him two visions to prepare him. We didn't read in the scripture, but let me go through with us these two visions. And let me start with the second vision in verse 13. And in verse 13, Jeremiah, the second vision that God gave Jeremiah, God asked Jeremiah, what did you see? And Jeremiah says, you know, I see a boiling pot facing from the north. And the Lord answered him, from the north, disaster will be poured to all who live in the land. Now, earlier I mentioned to you, Judah thought that they are safe. You know, the Assyrian has taken over their brothers in Israel, and the Assyrians are going down the drain. We are safe. But in this prophecy, God is telling them, you know, the pot that was facing north is now facing away from the north. So where is it facing? The south. Who is at the south? Judah is at the south. In other words, God is saying to his people that that punishment, that judgment will come to you. And God prepared Jeremiah for this ministry by showing him that this is going to be what's happening. And God gave him another vision, and in the first vision, Jeremiah saw an almond tree. God asked him, "What did you see?" And Jeremiah says, "I see an almond tree." Now, if you read the footnote at the end of your chapter in your Bible, it says that the Hebrew word for almond sounds like the Hebrew word for watching. And what is God saying? I am watching over my word to perform it. It's a word play here. And basically what it means, God is emphasizing what I proclaim, it will be done. There is no turning back. And so God showed Jeremiah a vision to prepare him for his ministry. He assured him with his word, "I will be with you." He gave him a vision to know what is to come. Now, if you were Jeremiah, imagine if you were Jeremiah, and that is your task, go and tell people that God's judgment is coming. Now, we all like to be in a ministry that, you know, it makes people like us, isn't it? Or we like to say nice things. But for Jeremiah, God is calling him to a ministry where people are going to hate him, and they will persecute him. And it's a very difficult ministry and a heavy burden for the prophet. But God also promised to deliver him. And God told him this, "I will make you a fortified city. That when you tell the message, whether the kings or the other prophets or the officials, they will not stand against you. Because I am with you, and I will deliver you." And that is God's word to Jeremiah. As you take on the ministry, as you serve the Lord, he will strengthen you. He will not allow you to be defeated. And likewise, that when we serve the Lord, there are challenges ahead of us. There will be obstacles. But God's message to each one of us is he will deliver you as you take on the challenge. Now, we heard so far that God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. And our inadequacy, whatever it is, our age, our inexperience, they are not obstacles to God. What he calls us to respond in obedience, he will work it out through us. He will go with you, and he will deliver you. But sandwiched between this assurance of God's presence and his deliverance, in the middle is a command. And what is God's command to his people? He told Jeremiah this, "But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say everything that I command you." Jeremiah is not allowed to retreat. Or, "God, I'll take a break from the ministry for a while." No. He is to respond immediately. Now, what is this phrase, "dress yourself for work," it mean? What does it mean? Now, in an older translation, it says, "Gird up thy loins." Now, what does that mean? Now, got a picture here, how to gird up your loins. In the olden days, men wear ropes. And if they are going to do some serious work, whether it's in the farm or are they going to prepare for a fight, they have to gird up their loins. They have to tie their ropes. And this is the way to do it. When the enemy attack, you gird up your loins quickly and you get ready in position. In our modern-day context, it basically means get in position. You know, like a swimmer or a basketball player. The whistle is going to blow anytime. You cannot not be in position when the whistle blows. It will take every second that you have. And so get into your position. And this is basically what God is calling Jeremiah to do. He is to get up his loins, Get ready for the ministry. There's no time to be wasted because God has spoken his word. And Jeremiah cannot waver or tremble in his feet. The consequences ahead is too drastic for him. But he has to bring God's message to his people. Now, what does dress yourself for work means for us today? It has been a week into 2018. And how has it been for you? Are you in position for the Lord's work? Or are you still waking up to 2017? Now, I begin the year with a very heavy heart, you know, very concerned for some things. And maybe you have begun that year also with a heavy heart, concerned about something that has taken your energy or your attention. But as I was preparing this message, this command in verse 17 stood out for me. And it's as though the Lord is saying to us and saying to me, you know, Srimal, don't spend your energy thinking about things that you do not have control over. I will enable you. You leave that to me. But now, get in position. Get in position for what I'm going to call you to. Get in position for the Lord's work. Get ready to partner with what God wants to do in you and through you. Now, what does it mean for us today? Now, as I was meditating how on this phrase and how the Lord has led us as a church, there are three things that we can get in position. Get in position for spiritual growth. Get in position for ministry. And get ready for outreach. At our last ECM, we heard the ministry direction of the church. These are the books that we are going to cover over the pulpit for 2018. Get in position to hear the word of God as you enter into the sanctuary. If there are some habits that needs to be changed, like coming in late, not preparing our hearts, get into position. And as we hear the word of God, get our hearts ready to listen to what God is calling us to. There are 7 classes in ABC. These are the classes for the first half of the year. And these are the classes on the second half of the year. Get ready to learn. Take charge of our spiritual growth. You know, you can sign up for one of these classes. And if you have not received baptism, then let the foundation class in the second half of the year be a priority, simply because Jesus was baptized for us. And he calls us to follow his example and his command. These are the areas that we indicated that we grow best in our relationship with the Lord. There was a survey done some time back. Carry on these habits. Do not neglect them. In your quiet time, listening to Christian music. And a lot of us also say that cell group is a place that we grow. So let's not give up meeting one another at the cell group and be there to encourage your fellow brother and sister. Spiritual growth is not just an individual thing, that is also a corporate thing that we come together and look forward to the church cram as we come together to grow in the Lord's word and our fellowship together. So block this date for all of us as we come together. So one aspect of getting ready, get in position, dress for work, is our own spiritual life and our spiritual growth. And these are some things that you can look forward to. The second aspect about getting dressed for work is in the area of our service. Get ready for ministry. In the coming weeks, we are going to dedicate some ministries. And some of you have served a particular ministry for many years. Thank you for serving the Lord faithfully. Perhaps some of us are thinking, okay, it's time to step down. Some has taken a break of no return. Get in position. Get dressed for work. Remember, it is not about our inadequacy, our age, or our past experience, or even about fulfilling a need. It is about fulfilling God's purpose for us in the body of Christ. So if you are not yet serving in any ministry, will you rise? Will you get into your position and serve with the rest? The third area to get dressed for work is the area of our outreach as lambs for Christ in the community. Now, I shared at the ACM how the Lord has directed our hearts to the community. In 2017, we did different things. We had a kids' basketball outreach with the children. There's a group of brothers and sisters who are ministering to the community through their profession, providing legal advice. And our youths are also getting into the act of reaching out to the community through their own ways. Now for 2018, let's get ready to serve together as we organize a kids' camp. And that's happening on 7th to 9th of December, although it's about a year ahead. There's a lot of preparations coming on. And if this is something that you can offer your help, then talk to Pastor Wen Chong. Jeremiah preached 40 years to the nation of Israel without convincing the people of God's word. His preaching was unpopular. He was threatened. He was ridiculed. They wanted to kill him. Jerusalem was finally destroyed. Judah ceased to be a nation. If you look at Jeremiah, his ministry is as though it is a failure. But God doesn't judge us by how humans look at us. All God looks at us is obedience. Jeremiah, were you obedient to what I called you to do? Did you take the words to the nation? And same for all of us. Are we going to be obedient to what the Lord calls us to do? He calls us to be dressed for work, to be in position. And as the Lord calls us to be dressed for work, we can be assured that His presence and His deliverance goes with us. Let us pray. Church, as we start the year, this is God's word for us. Dress yourself for work. His purpose and His call for each one of us is to serve Him. Will you make a commitment as you enter this year to get dressed for your spiritual growth? Take charge of it. Get dressed for ministry. And get dressed as we reach out to the community as a church. Father, you have spoken your word. Let our hearts be obedient to it, Lord. I pray that, Lord, in this coming week, may this passage and what we hear continue to convict us. And convict us until we change word to behavior, Lord. Let it be seen in our actions that, Lord, we take your word seriously and we want to obey you. And we thank you that, Lord, with this obedience comes your presence and your strength. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.